welcome everybody, and we welcome you today to our five-minute update where we examine the past week's news events as we are being watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem, and we are anticipating the events that are associated with the tribulation, namely that it is prophesied that the nations will divide the land of Israel, Joel chapter 3, verse 2, and the city of Jerusalem, Zechariah chapter 14, and verse 2. This will lead to the judgment of the nations. The judgment of the nations is twofold. It is war between the nations. It is economic collapse. When this happens, the nations will reorganize and set up one world government, one world currency, the fulfillment of Revelation in chapter 13. And when these things are happening, that is the judgment on the nations, the God of Israel will birth the state of Zion, and that will trigger the ingathering of the exiles and the uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel, wherein the Messiah will be glorified. Now, before we get into this week's news articles, I'd like to share with you some housekeeping items first, especially since we have so many people that listen to the five-minute update when it's rebroadcast. We want to let you know that Monty Judah and I are sponsoring a tour to Israel, November the 7th through the 18th. And your initial deposit is due, I believe, June the 25th. So if you are interested at all in going to Israel with us, which we would encourage you to do so, whether you've been there before or not, that if you go to the Hebraic Heritage Ministries website, hebroots.org, there's a banner there regarding the trip to Israel. You can click on that banner, and it will give you information you need. You can actually fill out a form that indicates your interest. Or, alternatively, you can write into the ministry at Post Office Box 81, Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. We will send you out an information packet regarding the trip. So given that there's only one more month before the initial deposit is due, we would encourage you to take action on that. We would love to see you in Israel. We believe that by the end of the year, any conflicts that Israel would have, that they will be over with by the end of the year. And I'm greatly looking forward to the trip, and I'm sure that you will be as well. Next, our congregation is going to be celebrating Shavuot tomorrow, that is Sunday, and we are going to be broadcasting the service on Paltalk at 10:30 a.m. That's Eastern Standard Time. And so we would encourage you to help us celebrate Shavuot. What I'm going to be doing from 10:30 when we start is I'm going to be doing a teaching on Shavuot from Leviticus in chapter 23, and verse 16, where it says, "Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, you shall number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord." The meat offering in Hebrew is mincha. And so, specifically, on the 50th day is the day that we are to offer a mincha offering. Now, literally, you can't do this because you need a temple, and you need priests, Levitical priests, in order to do this. But we are, since we are the temple and the tabernacle of the God of Israel, we are able to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So what is the mincha offering spiritually? So I'm going to be doing a teaching tomorrow for Shavuot on Shavuot and the mincha offering, and explaining the spiritual meaning and application of how we can bring a mincha offering in our personal lives. So If you don't know how the Minha offering is associated with Shavuot, this would be a good opportunity for you to tune in tomorrow, that is Sunday, at 10:30 a.m. And we're planning on doing the teaching approximately from 10:30 to noon. Also, please report that Mark is doing a lot better. As most of you probably know, who's in the Pal Talk room on a week-to-week basis, he was here in the service. Yet, Mark still has a recovery to do, get stronger. And so he's going to be going through the physical therapy and getting stronger process in the next several months. And so we'd appreciate if you would keep Mark in your prayers as he recovers. All right, let's get on to the articles for this week. First, I'd like to give you an update on the current status of the peace process. And 4 months has been given for indirect talks. These 4 months will conclude sometime in September. Now, September is when we have the fall holidays. And so this is a very significant time of the year as it relates to the events of the second coming. So we have a lot to look forward to see how these things develop and see ultimately what decisions get made at the end of this process in September. Meanwhile, we are monitoring the progress of things leading up to the conclusion of the 4 months. So the first article I'm going to read to you is from WorldNet Daily, May the 15th. The headline is, Obama threatens to impose a Palestinian state. The article says, if Israel and the Palestinians fail to reach an agreement to create a Palestinian state, the Obama administration will look into imposing a solution on the parties, a senior Palestinian Authority negotiator told WorldNet Daily. The negotiator, speaking by telephone from Ramallah, said the Palestinian Authority agreed to resume direct talks with Israel earlier this week only after a U.S. pledge to ensure against any new Jewish construction in eastern Jerusalem and the West Bank, biblically called Judea and Samaria. The Palestinian Authority negotiator told WorldNet Daily the Obama administration told the Palestinians if a deal is ultimately not reached with Israel, that would be after the four-month period, the U.S. will consider imposing a solution that, quote-unquote, the Israelis will not appreciate. Further, the Palestinian negotiator said recent meetings between the Obama administration and the Palestinians revealed the White House is on board to a Palestinian threat to unilaterally ask the United Nations to recognize a Palestinian state outside of negotiations with Israel. The Palestinian negotiator said the U.S. wanted for now to stress negotiations between the parties, but that if an agreement is not reached, the U.S. would not veto a U.N. Security Council resolution to unilaterally create a Palestinian state. Earlier this week, Obama urged Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas in a telephone conversation to engage in direct talks with Israel, the White House announced. The White House statement said that the two discussed the need for both parties to negotiate seriously and in good faith and to move from indirect proximity talks to direct negotiations as soon as possible in order to reach an agreement on permanent status issues. Well, obviously, since the United States is strongly letting the Palestinians know that if an agreement isn't reached in 4 months, that they will seek to impose one, the Palestinians will only negotiate and agree during these 4 months on something that is completely acceptable to them, given they have assurances that if there is an agreement, that a state will be imposed anyhow, and it will be on terms that, quote-unquote, the Israelis won't appreciate. And so, therefore, we're not going to necessarily see cooperation during this four-month period given the U.S. promise that has been made to the Palestinians. Now, this next article is from allarabia.net. The headline is, from May the 15th, "The Arabs want peace progress by September, says a Saudi prince. Arab states want to see progress in U.S.-guided Palestinian-Israeli peace talks by September," former Saudi intelligence chief Prince Turki Al-Fazl said on Saturday, adding that an inept United States cannot fix Afghanistan. The Arab world has given U.S. President Barack Obama until September to get things done. Turki, also a former Saudi ambassador to Washington, told an audience of businessmen, journalists, and diplomats, "It is not enough to talk the talk. He has to walk the walk," he said. "If he does not succeed, then I ask President Obama to do the morally decent gesture and recognize the Palestinian state that he so ardently wishes to exist. He can then pack up and leave us in peace and let the Palestinians, Syrians, and Lebanese negotiate directly with the Israelis." So we have confrontation and crisis coming at the end of 4 months. Next article, May the 19th, from Reuters. U.S. envoy George Mitchell and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas discusses final status issues. President Barack Obama's Middle East envoy and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas discussed possible outlines of a future Palestinian state on Wednesday, a Palestinian official said. "We are focusing on final status issues like borders and security," Saab Erekat told reporters after the meeting between Abbas and George Mitchell, who is mediating indirect peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians. "We hope that in the next 4 months we can achieve the two-state solution on the 67 borders," said Erekat, reiterating a Palestinian demand that Israel withdraws from Palestinian territory it captured in the 67 Middle East War. Next article from YNetNews.com, May the 19th. The Palestinians are willing to have NATO forces overlook a future Palestinian state. President Mahmoud Abbas of the Palestinian Authority intends on informing special U.S. envoy to the Middle East, George Mitchell, that the Palestinian Authority would agree to have NATO forces stationed in future Palestine, London-based Arabic-language newspaper Al-Quds Al-Arabi reported Wednesday. Abbas and Mitchell are scheduled to meet in Ramallah on Wednesday afternoon. The newspaper quoted Palestinian sources as saying that Abbas would agree to have North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO, forces monitor the borders of the future Palestinian state in order to stop arms smuggling to what is supposed to become a demilitarized zone. According to the report, NATO forces would also be tasked with protecting the Palestinian state from Israel. And the security aspect of any agreement would, practically speaking, need to entail international troops patrolling probably not only the West Bank, but Jerusalem as well. So therefore, you would have international troops or armies upon the mountains of Israel. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, the Gog-Magog war is when the Gog-Magog coalition invades, or they are in the mountains of Israel. And so this is a very important announcement and development in the peace process, because I believe that the United States for many years has always desired that in the end that there would be international troops be stationed there. And I believe that the United States would like to coordinate the pulling out of Iraq so that the troops could then move into the West Bank. And I think that's how they would like the plan to come together, in my opinion. The next article is from Haaretz, and it is May the 21st. According to the Wall Street Journal, the Palestinians are offering more land to Israel than they previously had indicated. The Palestinian Authority has offered surprising concessions to Israel regarding borders for a future state, the Wall Street Journal reported on Friday. In the framework of proximity peace talks now being mediated by the United States Special Middle East Envoy George Mitchell, Palestinian negotiators have reportedly offered to match and even double the amount of West Bank land that Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas offered to former Prime Minister Ehud Olmert during their one-on-one talks in 2008. During those talks, Abbas offered Olmert to exchange 1.9% of West Bank land for an equal amount of Israeli territory. Olmert countered with a much higher demand of his own, which the current reported offer would still not come close to matching. Palestinian officials told the Wall Street Journal that the unexpected proposal was being made due to their assumption that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was not serious about reaching a final status deal within the indirect negotiations. Palestinian chief negotiator Saeb Erekat said his government was approaching the proximity talks in good faith and are not going to waste Mitchell's time. We want Mr. Mitchell to succeed because his success is our freedom, he said. So these are the articles then that summarizes the current status of the peace process. So let me review with you a summary of them. There's going to be a four-month period that ends in September where there's going to be negotiations being conducted between Israel and the Palestinians. They're starting out as indirect talks, and it is desired that they would move to direct talks. The Obama administration has promised the Palestinians that if an agreement isn't made within 4 months, that they would strongly consider imposing a solution and recognize a Palestinian state through the UN Security Council. Saudi Prince reiterated that the Arab world has only given the United States 4 months for there to be an agreement made between Israel and the Palestinians. And so the second round of indirect talks were conducted this week. And in those talks, the Palestinians wanted the talks to center on borders and security. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal reports that the Palestinians are offering more land than what they were willing to offer with talks with Ehud Olmert in 2008, and the Palestinians are willing to bring in NATO forces to oversee the West Bank and the things that are going on there. Next, we're going to move on with the situation with Iran. And what we're going to be sharing with you is the last several weeks, Russia has drawn closer to form an alliance with Syria, Iran, and Turkey. That in the past week or so, Russia has agreed to sell arms to Syria, anti-defense weapon systems to Syria, as well as expressed the desire to help Syria and Turkey build nuclear power plants. Now, in order to show that they were serious, Russia was asked by Iran and Syria to meet publicly with the Hamas leader, which they did. And so these articles now are going to really focus on Iran. And the first one is from Ynet News, May the 21st. And Russia says that they will sell advanced missile systems to Iran. Harsher sanctions on Iran will not prevent Russia from fulfilling its obligation and selling the S-300 missile system to Iran, a senior Russian parliamentarian said Friday. Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Mikhail Margalov said the latest sanction proposal does not pertain to agreements signed with Iran in the past. The sale of the advanced missile systems greatly concerns both Israel and the United States, as the system's deployment will make a strike on Iran's nuclear sites significantly more difficult to carry out. And so what Russia is selling to Iran is these advanced S-300 missile systems, which will help protect Iran militarily against an airstrike. Now, this next article is from volternet.org, and it's from May the 16th, and it's going to mention how that in the last several weeks that Russia has drawn closer in alliance with Syria, Iran, Hezbollah, and Hamas, as well as Turkey. This is a huge development because this is Israel's enemies from the north forming an alliance against them. So first we will share with you the article, and then we'll remind you of the prophecies regarding them. So the headline says, a strategic shift has happened in the Middle East. The failure to reshape the greater Middle East has left the field open to a new alliance, the Iran-Syria-Turkey triangle. Since nature is allergic to vacuums, Moscow is filling the space left vacant by the United States. The wind has changed and it's blowing strong. In a matter of a few months, the entire regional balance of power has tipped. In recent months, the equilibrium of the Middle East has undergone a complete shift. First of all, the capabilities and positions of a number of players has changed. Russia is making its presence in a greater way. Noting the failure of U.S. plans to reshape U.S. greater Middle East, Russia has repositioned itself on the regional scene on the occasion of President Dmitry Medvedev's visit to Syria and Turkey. With regard to Israel, Russia reaffirmed that the political settlement of the conflict should be based on relevant UN resolutions, including the inalienable right of return for Palestinians and the principles of the Madrid Conference, which is a return of the occupied territories, including East Jerusalem and the Golan Heights, in exchange for a peace treaty. So Russia's position is a Palestinian state based on 67 borders, with East Jerusalem as its capital, as well as Israel returning the Golan Heights based upon UN resolutions. Moreover, Russian President Medvedev confirmed his country's preference for the two-state solution. Russia supports the political and economic reapproachment in progress between Iran, Syria, and Turkey. The three leading states in the Middle East have entered a phase of intense cooperation. In a matter of months, they have opened their borders and liberalized their trade at an accelerated pace. Their economies, which were paralyzed by years of war, have suddenly been energized. Russia has no intention of staying out of this new area of prosperity. Immediately, Turkey and Russia have brought up the need for visas for their citizens. In this way, a Turk can enter Russia without formalities, while he cannot do the same in the United States nor the European Union, despite the fact that Turkey is a NATO member and a European Union candidate. Russia has set up permanent consultative bodies at high diplomatic and economic levels with Syria and Turkey, in contrast with the policy of the United States. Earlier this year, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has ordered Syria to distance itself from the resistance. In response, President Bashar al-Assad immediately appeared alongside his Iranian counterpart, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, and Hezbollah Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah, and ironically signed a document titled the Treaty of Reduced Distance. The meeting was convened short distance and short notice, and Khaled Mashal could not attend. That's the leader of Hamas. But Hamas was nevertheless involved in the process. Following up on his threats, President Obama has renewed economic sanctions against Syria for another 2 years. And the next article as well is important. Before I read it, I'd like to mention that I don't have the article, but it was reported in a recent trilateral commission meeting, that's a meeting of world globalists, in Ireland in the past week. One of the members said that the trilateral commission desires world government and that they are looking into the possibility of having war with Iran. Now, Lindsey Williams, in his conversation with a globalist leader earlier in the year, said that war in the Middle East would not be until 2011. I don't know whether that has been pushed up or not, but let me share with you this article from Debka File, May the 20th. Obama starts a massive U.S. air sea marine buildup opposite Iran. Debka File's military sources report a decision by the Obama administration to boost U.S. military strength in the Mediterranean and Persian Gulf regions in the short term with an extra air and naval strike forces and 6,000 marine and sea combatants. Carrier Strike Group 10, headed by the U.S. Harry Truman aircraft carrier, sails out of the U.S. Navy base in Norfolk, Virginia on Friday, May the 21st. On arrival, it will raise the number of U.S. carriers off Iranian shores to 2. Up until now, President Barack Obama kept just one aircraft carrier stationed off the coast of Iran. That was the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower in the Arabian Sea, in pursuit of his policy of diplomatic engagement with Iran. For the first time, too, the U.S. force opposite Iran will be joined by a German warship, the frigate FGS Hessen, operating under American command. It is also the first time that Obama, since taking office 14 months ago, is sending military reinforcements to the Persian Gulf. Our military sources have learned that the USS Truman is just the first element of the new buildup of U.S. resources around Iran. It will take place over the next 3 months, reaching peak level in late July and early August. By then, the Pentagon plans to have at least 4 or 5 U.S. aircraft carriers visible from Iranian shores. So if there's going to be a war, they need aircraft carriers in the region. And so they are sending those aircraft carriers, and they will have, as the article says, as many as 4 or 5 aircraft carriers there by late July to early August. So that would seem that beginning at that time frame, late July, early August, is when the real possibility exists for there to be a conflict. Now, we don't know whether they're going to allow those aircraft carriers to sit there for 6-9 months, but the fact that they're going over there indicates that there's preparations made for a conflict if a decision is made to carry one out. And so right now, there is a UN Security Council sanction against Iran that they're going to try to see if that has any effect. But given the fact that Russia is now deploying anti-missile aircraft and plans to do so into Iran, if Israel and the United States are going to attack Iran, they better do it before that missile system, anti-missile system, gets set up. So we can see here that while they're talking peace, at the same time, there's a preparation for war. And last week, I shared with you a 10-minute video from a retired U.S. general saying that there is preparations for war in Lebanon and in Syria regarding a possible attack upon Israel when they deemed would be the right moment to do so. And then the Israeli military has been doing training exercises about how to defend against a massive missile barrage from Syria and Lebanon into the coastal cities of Israel. And recently, Israel has been distributing gas masks to some of its citizens, especially those who are in the northern area of Israel. And so, regarding these things, I'd like to remind you in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that in Ezekiel 38:8 it says, "After many days you will be visited, in the latter years you shall come into the land that is brought back from the sword and gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel." And then in Ezekiel chapter 39 verse 2, "I will turn you back and leave but a sixth part of you and cause you to come up from the northern parts, and I will bring you upon the mountains of Israel." So the Gog-Magog invasion is an invasion upon the mountains of Israel. And in discussing the peace talks, there is a discussion about NATO troops being positioned upon the mountains of Israel. And then the book of Joel and chapter 1, the book of Joel chapter 1, it talks about in verse 6, "For a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number." A nation has invaded my land, strong and without number. And as a result, Joel says to sanctify a fast. Let the priests weep before the porch and the altar. Joel and chapter 2 and verse 17. And then in Joel 2:20 it says, "But I will remove far off from you the northern army." I'll remove to you from you the northern army. And then it says in Joel 3:16, "The Lord will roar out of Zion. So you will know that I am Yahweh, your Elohim, dwelling in Zion." And then it's repeated in Joel 3:21, "For Yahweh dwells in Zion." So Joel talks about a northern army that creates a real crisis of the land, that northern army is going to be driven back and defeated ultimately. And Ezekiel 38 and 39 talks about a coalition invading the mountains of Israel. So perhaps the uniting of Russia, Syria, and Hezbollah, and Turkey, that this alliance that's being formed is in preparation to fulfill these prophecies, in addition to an agreement to bring NATO troops upon the mountains of Israel. So we need to watch this military buildup, especially late July into early August, where the United States will be positioned to be able to launch a military attack against Iran. So whether they decide to do that or not obviously remains to be seen, but they are creating the possibility to be able to do so here as the summer months progress. Now my last two articles are about the economy, and the first is from Yahoo Finance, May the 19th, and it says, "Mortgage delinquencies drag on economic recovery. More than 10% of U.S. homeowners with a mortgage missed at least one payment in the January to March period, the Mortgage Bankers Association said Wednesday. That is a record high and up from 9.1% a year ago. Around 4.3 million homeowners, or about 8% of all Americans with a mortgage, are at risk of losing their homes, the trade group's top economist estimates, because this 8% has either missed at least 3 months of payments or are in the foreclosure process already. That's a massive amount of people and a massive amount of homes. And so those people are in a very precarious situation. If anything happens in the economy, that the economy gets any worse, then perhaps they may not be able to catch up on their payments. Meanwhile, this last article I'm going to share with you is from calculatedriskblog.com, and the article states the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation quarter one banking profile shows that they have 775 banks on their problem list. The FDIC released quarter one quarterly banking profile today. The FDIC listed 775 banks with $431 billion in assets as problem banks in quarter one. Now, that's up from 702 banks in the fourth quarter of 2009 and up from 305 banks in quarter one of 2009. So, quarter one of 2009, 305 banks on the problem list. Quarter one of 2010, 1 year later, double that. Over double, 775 problem banks. Now, it's to be noted that not all problem banks will fail, and not all failures will be from the problem bank list. But this shows the problem is significant and still growing. Now, if people aren't able to make their mortgage payments, if 10% of people ultimately are not able to make their mortgage payments, then that's going to create more banks on the problem and troubled list. So we have things in place and things in progress that tribulation events would be able to be fulfilled in the not too distant future with the current situation of the peace process, alliance of Israel's northern enemies, and the prospects of they meaning Syria, Hezbollah, and Hamas, desiring to wage war against Israel. Meanwhile, the United States is preparing for war against Iran by sending aircraft carriers into the region. And then the economy is real delicate, with 10% of homeowners missing one payment in the first quarter of 2010 and a doubling of problem banks on the FDIC watch list from 1 year ago. So the military buildup was war between the nations. The problem with the economy and the banks is economic collapse, in addition to the crisis that we're seeing in Europe, with Greece, and they're talking about the dangers in Spain and Portugal. And I don't have the article, but Leap 2020 is anticipating that there will be problems in England that will start surfacing, that will be a part of news and headlines with the British pound within the next 2 months. And that's what Leap 2020 is reporting and anticipating in their April and May issue, which you can see at leap2020.eu. Well, this is going to conclude our five-minute update for this week, and we pray it's been a blessing to you to help keep you up to date with what's going on in our news as it relates and pertains to the Bible prophecies of the end of days. And so We do not want you to get in an attitude of gloom and doom as we report these things to you, because if you are drawing close to Yeshua, He has promised to protect you, redeem you, and allow you to overcome the things that are happening during these times. And so it's during these times He's going to judge the nations and deliver His people, that is Zion, which is the unification of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so we want to know what's going on in the world to help us prepare, but at the same time, the God of Israel has promised us victory if we will put our trust in Yeshua, if we will seek to follow His Torah, and He will bring great victory to His people. So until we do it again, Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.